This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 9th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
In my direction, I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave me your okay. I'll take you on a trip beside the ocean and drop the top at Chesapeake Bay. Ain't nothing like the sky to dose a potion. The moon will send you on your way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, of course, you know Moonlight Feels Right. Smash records in the mid-70s. And I know you're saying, what are you playing it for? Because rarely is there a pop adult hit that I like. And yes, Wimpy White Records is usually what I refer them to. But I got to tell you, I'm a not-so-closeted Starbuck fan, and have been from the beginning. Now, at one point, I heard someone call it pure, unadulterated yacht rocks. I just laughed at that, but I loved it. And, of course, Moonlight Feels Right is their biggest hit, and some would call it a one-hit wonder, but I'm not so sure I'm in that camp. However, there's so much more to the story than that. And before we get to it, and yes, I said I was going to have Bruce Blackman on, and already people are lined up to talk to him, and I think that's just terrific. So if you want to get on that, 888-876-5593 spells 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. But without a doubt, best marimba solo in a pop record ever. Now, I realize that other pop records have used the marimba. It's not unknown. Everything from The Lion Sleeps Tonight to Under My Thumb, probably. However, there's never been anything like this. Just sublime. And welcome, Bruce Blackman, to the Raleigh James Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this, as I say. It's a real exception for me. And I have a feeling that you probably grew up listening to the same stuff I did since you were in Greenville, Mississippi. You know, WLAC at night and all that wonderful, wonderful blues and soul. And for some reason, though, I'll tell you what, I just think your stuff is tremendous. And every time somebody will call it a one-hit wonder, I kind of go crazy because, of course, that makes it sound like it happened out of the blue. You weren't doing anything before and nothing since. And I loved your quote that you're qualified to recount a history of marginal rock and roll. But that belies the depth of your talent. So this hit record, which was well over a decade in the making, I want to go back. The first time I heard of you, you were a house band in Biloxi, but where did it all start?
Well, it started for me. The music started when I was in the fourth grade. I won a citywide tonette playing contest, a little plastic, well, Bakelite flute.
Yeah.
And everybody in the finals played Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and I played Flight of the Bumblebee. and I won the contest. I was in the fourth grade, and then my music teacher told the junior high band director about me, and he came over and handed me a trumpet. And he said, you're going to be my first chair trumpet player. And so he came all throughout fourth and fifth grade. He came over and worked with me a couple of times a week. And that's when I wrote my first song right at that time. And that's how I got started.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you say wrote your first song. My God, you've written pretty much that first album on Private Stock. That was pretty much every song written by you, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
But that I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, of course, there you were, the houseman in Biloxi. And I love that you were backing Charlie Rich, because for a while I was his promotional manager. So much like you drove.
Really?
Yes. And much like you drove to every damn radio station, I did, too. If I found a tower, I was leaving records. And so, in fact, I know that there's a big deal with Michael St. John at WERC getting you on Private Stock. But before that, you were handing out a record. So with that in mind, where was Moonlight Cut?
It was recorded at Studio One in Doraville, Georgia,
okay,
which was the home of the Atlanta Rhythm Section and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, it's not bad. And it comes out on some type of, maybe not a label, but some type of a 45. What was the first label you were, you know, going around to radio stations with?
Well, that was Private Stock. We got the deal with Private Stock, and they were just a singles oriented label, and we didn't even have an album deal.
Yeah,
and they released the record in September of 1975.
Right.
And nothing happened. So we bought 500 copies from the record company. They wouldn't even give them to us.
Right.
And Bo went east from Atlanta, and I went west from Atlanta. As you said, pull into a town with an ARB book, look for the tower, the format fit, drop off a record.
Exactly.
And the last place I went was WERC in Birmingham, and which was a very powerful station at that time. Mike St. John was well known for breaking records.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't know that. And all the bigger stations I'd been to, they virtually laughed me out of the place. But anyway, Mike St. John listened to the song. He said, "Man, this is a great record." He said, "This is not a fall-winter record. This is a spring-summer record." He said, "I'm going to put it on the air next spring."
Ooh.
Well, I thought that was just a nice way of saying no. But 8 months later, he puts the song, starts playing it in Birmingham, and it absolutely blew up. So then he called Private Stock and said, "You people are idiots. You need to get some product in the market. This is a hit record." So at that point, Private Stock started working it. And it took off from there. And then we did our very first concert with ELO in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, wow. That's great. Now, that's interesting, because I had figured that it was Mike who had introduced you to Private Stock. So with that in mind, here you are. Obviously, you've got some street cred. And, of course, we haven't even gotten to your past with Eternity's Children and all that. But a single deal with Private Stock, how did that come about?
Well, I had done when I wrote Moonlight in 1974.
Okay.
And I had a little cheap drum machine that had four beats on it, a 4/4 that didn't work, a waltz didn't work, a march, which is no good, and a bossa nova.
Yeah.
Bossa nova was the only, so I recorded a home demo as a bossa nova. And that is the recording that Private Stock heard, and we got the single deal off of that.
Yeah, and boy, it was just tremendous. Now, I've seen on your website that you own your masters, which is, you know, such an accomplishment, to say the least, and that you can license and all that. So when you did the deal with Private Stock, did you do a deal where you would own the masters?
Yeah, well, we did a lease deal with them.
Great. Great.
So they never did own them. The reason I knew about that is because when I was a teenager with Eternity's Children, we were one of the very first acts ever signed with A&M Records.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we went with Liberty, and we had a song called Mrs. Bluebird. There was a huge hit in the Southeast, but it didn't break out nationally. And it went to, like, somewhere around number 50, something like that, in Billboard. But we had these Dixie Mafia managers out of New Orleans, and they were taking all the money. We got nothing. And they got 50%, and not only that, they assigned the contract to Kevin Deveridge out in L.A., who managed Eric Burden and the Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kevin got 25%.
Oh, God.
So they got 75% of our gross, and we had to live on what was left and pay. It was impossible. So I got tired of doing that, and I didn't want to live like a refugee anymore, and so I left the band. Well, then they hired Bo Wagner, the marimba player, into the band. But Bo joined the band because he liked the songs they were playing. When he found out the guy that wrote the songs had left the band, he left. And then he went on tour with Liberace. He was Liberace's music director. Oh, and Bo comes, that's weird, but it's true. Bo, who comes to Atlanta, we get a phone call from this complete stranger named Bo Wagner. He's inviting us, me and my wife, to come see Liberace. We weren't interested, you know. And he said, oh, come on, you can go come backstage and meet Lee. So we did it, and then Bo, you know, he talked us into putting a group together, which we did, and we went through many lineups before we got to the final. But that's basically the way it got put together. And then there were three members of Starbuck had been members of Eternity's Children, so it was basically just an extension of that.
That's hilarious. As you're telling me about Liberace, I mean, Bo Wagner, and yes, he'd been on, of course, everybody's seen the clips probably when he was on the Mouseketeers on Disney, but then working for Lawrence Welk. But the first time I saw a video of him playing the marimbas on Moonlight Feels Right, he was in like this black leather jumpsuit. And as you were telling me that he was playing with Liberace, I said, something here fits. It just made a bit of sense. Now, so when...
Oh, that was one of his more tame outfits. it was embarrassing to me. You know?
It's hilarious.
He was just all showbiz. He had his own Vegas show when he was 12.
Yeah.
He also played drums on all the association stuff with Cherish and Along Comes Mary.
Yeah.
He also toured with the Fifth Dimension. And he was a member of, what was it? One of those Laurel Canyon bands. I can't think of the name of it now.
Wow.
Kind of like, I'm sorry. I can't think of the name, but they were fairly big.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he did a little bit of everything. He was an absolute virtuoso musician.
And absolutely a showman, too. You're right. Flamboyant, to say the least. And sadly, he's no longer with us. And I was real sad about, 2017. What did he pass from?
He had a congenital disease.
Oh, jeez.
Both his father and his brother passed away from that. Because Bo was a complete, absolute health freak. I mean, he never ate anything that wasn't pure nature. Nothing. But didn't smoke, didn't drink. But, he just had that, was born with it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that after A&M, Eternity's Children went with Liberty. Now, I remember when I played that record, it was on Tower.
Tower was a subsidiary of Liberty.
I thought it was Capitol. I'll be darned. Okay.
Both of them were subsidiaries of Capitol. And the reason they signed us is they were looking for someone, a group they thought that could compete with the Fifth Dimension at the time. We had four lead singers in a five-piece band.
Right, yeah. Now, I guess you had left by the time they wound up with Gary Paxton?
Yes.
Because that...
Bo was big buddies with Gary Paxton.
All right. And, you know, that fits too, actually. I can see that. So did you go back to Georgia at that point?
Yeah, yes, I did. And then, you know, when Bo came, we put our first group together, and we'd just been together just a few months at most.
Wow.
And in the meantime, Gary Paxton had moved to Nashville.
Right.
Of course, Bo knew Gary real well, so Bo called Gary, and Gary said, well, come on up to Nashville, and we'll do an album. So we did. We went up to Nashville, and we recorded an album in about 4 hours. I mean, it was strictly 1, 2, 3, 4, everybody play, and that's
right,
it.
Right.
We got to deal with RCA. And the name of our band at that time was Mississippi. Now, RCA told us we had to change our name because they were in the process of signing a group from Australia who was named Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
As odd as that is. So I had just reread Moby Dick, and the name that popped out was Starbuck, because the first mate in Moby Dick is named Starbuck, and I just thought that was a cool name. This is pre-coffee, of course.
Yeah, right.
And then the group named Mississippi from Australia changed their name to the Little River Band.
And the rest was history for them as well. All right. Well, yep. I could hog you all night, and I probably will continue to, but I know Dennis and Ron and others are hanging on there. So Bruce Blackman has joined us, and if you want to do some reading, go to bruceblackman.com. I highly recommend the blog, and we'll be talking a little bit about that too. But if you want to call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Tonight for the lake shore, the slower you go, the
slower you go,
the longer it lasts, yeah. The slower you go, babe,
the slower you go,
the longer it lasts. Moonlit night, cheek to cheek, take it slow between the sheets, nice and easy.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, we're going to absolutely get to I Got to Know, but if you turn that record over, you get the slower you go, the longer it lasts, and I just thought that was terrific. And of course, that was Starbuck. Bill Lowry Productions doesn't get more Atlanta than that, and we're talking with Bruce Blackman, and I promise not to hog you completely, Bruce, so let's welcome Dennis from Colorado. Welcome to WGN Radio, Dennis.
Flight of the Bumblebee at what, 8 years old? No wonder you won that contest.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I didn't even hear. What were you playing when you did that?
A tonette. A little plastic flute.
That's amazing. Wow. Just amazing.
Well, I got to tell you, Bruce, thanks so much for being on here. It's a real delight. And thank you, Raleigh. Moonlight has been on my playlist for decades, a lot of decades. And I don't care what life is throwing at you, how you're feeling, how down you are, what's going on, going down the road, a busy highway, stuck in traffic. You put that thing on and everything just gets better. I was going to ask you why it took so long from recording it to making it a hit, but you pretty much answered that in the intro.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point you'll get to the story about how you talked Bo into coming back after 20-some years of not touching the instrument and talking him into doing a reunion show.
Yeah, he was a little hesitant to do it, but he came back, came over to our house and set up his, by now he had an electronic marimba, and he practiced, but heck, the very first time he played it, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I never met a musician like Bo. As a matter of fact, speaking of Flight of the Bumblebee, we were in the studio one night, and Bo sat down at a grand piano, and using his two index fingers as mallets, he played the Flight of the Bumblebee faster than you could even hear it.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the most astonishing things I've ever seen. Unfortunately, we didn't have cell phones to make a video then. You
know? Yeah.
All right,
well,
Dennis.
I Got to Know has always been, I've always liked that one too, but it was just nothing like Moonlight. And Bo, incredible. Did he ever work with Herb Alpert?
No, but our first record deal was with Herb Alpert on A&M.
And it's a great story, too. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to find out what's going on at the news and come back with Taste of Honey. Well, actually, we're going to come back with I Got to Know, but the story of Taste of Honey, because I've read that before, and it's a phenomenal story. So we thank Dennis for calling, and we'll pick it up with Ron and you and, of course, Bruce Blackman, bruceblackman.com, and that's where we are on WGN Radio.
Your problems, you ought to help me with mine. Whoa, I got to know, just give me some kind of sign. You want to be a lady scholar, you ought to know what to say. Whoa, I got to know, I got to know, we can go on this way. In the meter fool down on 42nd Street, we'll tell you there's no way to be Tahiti. You're a little
what I need to be told. Communicate with silence. You expect me to understand. Oh, I got to know, I got to know. You can make me a happy man. While I'm waiting for your answer, I'm sleeping in my shoes. Oh, I got to know, I got to know. Cause I wanna go spread the news. In that major fool down on 42nd Street would tell you there's no way to be tight. You're a little younger, maybe I'm a little.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Pure poetry, as far as I'm concerned, takes me right back to the fall of 1976. Yeah, sitting playing the hits in Indiana. And across the state in Fort Wayne, Carol Ford was on her first gig. And the minute I heard her, I said, I'm going to quit right now because I could go the rest of my life and not sound that good. And I'm lucky to have her doing my show prep now. And what Carol said when I mentioned Bruce, she said, oh, I got to know. That's my fave. And Bruce, you'd be surprised how many people have said that to me. As much as Moonlight is a wonderful record, I got to know should have charted a lot higher than it did.
I hear that a lot from people. I got to know went to number 43.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I think maybe what Bo and I did promoting the record, once we had a hit and then we were out touring all over the place, we could no longer do what we did. We couldn't visit the stations like we did, because we visited hundreds of radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Private Stock was, of course, you know, Private Stock went out of business like
yes,
less than a year later.
Right. Yeah, that was probably not the most auspicious start for any group, but you defied the odds. That's for darn sure. Now, before I bring on Ron, who's got some questions I think about, I got to know, 500 radio stations, or hell, maybe 5,000, do any of them stand out in your mind for being just really awful in terms of some of these physical plants?
Oh, gosh, yeah. One in Greenwood, Mississippi was like a converted chicken coop.
Was that WSWG?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember the...
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
So
yeah, no, I mean, it ultimately went dark. But, yeah, I converted anything. That's great. I bet you've got a ton of stories on that. All right, so Ron is in Louisville. All right, welcome back to WGN Radio, Ron Flatter.
Yeah, good to be back. And Bruce, you need to know, if you don't know this about Raleigh, she doesn't just have maybe the largest collections of vinyl records, but also of FCC construction permits. So she knows firsthand just how crappy these radio station properties were. So the story I know about Moonlight Feels Right being the love story about how you enticed your wife on to what would be your first date. But I got to know a sequel. Is the girl and I got to know the girl from Moonlight Feels Right?
Yeah, and that was a song that I wrote shortly after that, thinking about how frustrated I was with getting that date with her. Because she was dating this big-time football star from Ole Miss.
Ooh.
At the time, you know, and I, you know, just trying to work my way into the program. So that song was about that frustration. I was remembering it at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, that star wasn't Archie Manning, was it?
No.
No, it wasn't that big a star.
So whatever happened to him?
The football player?
Well, he ended up working for AT&T, and he passed away about five, 6 years ago.
Oh.
But you were the more famous guy in the long run, right?
Well, yeah, it worked out that way, but I certainly wasn't at the time. I mean, I was way down on that totem pole.
Well, and she paid
Peggy,
her.
Peggy was young Elizabeth Taylor, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I mean, every male in five counties knew about her.
Yeah, and from what I understand, there were years where she kind of put the food on the table working as a waitress while you were trying to get hits.
That's correct. She said, I had an accident and I cut off the middle finger of my right hand.
Oh, jeez.
And when I wrote Moonlight, the very night I wrote it, Peggy was working as a waitress, and I was sitting on the floor in the living room of a little apartment playing mini mode. You don't want to play one note at a time with mini mode. And I was just, my left hand was going, da, 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 da. I was just playing that. And all of a sudden, I started remembering when Peggy said, the third time I asked her, she said she would go out with me, and the little wind was blowing. And I immediately went, the wind blew some luck in my direction.
Yeah.
I caught it in my hands today. I looked up at the TV. The TV was on, but the sound was off. And I was looking at Gene Hackman. And the movie was The French Connection. And that's when I came up. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave me, you're okay. And then the rest of it is just about what happened. At the time, I had an old MGB ragged out convertible that barely ran. We went out to a lake in Mississippi one night, put the top back. The moon was reflecting off of this lake. It was absolutely beautiful. And we were leaning back trying to pick out constellations. So that's what that verse is about. So that's really, of course, when I did the song, I couldn't say and drop the top of the lake in Mississippi.
Right.
I thought, well, you know, I need a bay and a big city. And I came up with Baltimore and Chesapeake.
Worked out.
Most people thought we were from Baltimore because of that.
Of course.
I'm guilty. In fact, the first time I ever drove over a bridge on Raleigh's recommendation crossing the Chesapeake Bay, I was listening to something. It might have been Yacht Rock on Sirius XM, whatever it was. I don't even know if we had Sirius XM, but I was just praying to hear Starbuck, and I'd love to tell you, yes, it came on the radio, but frankly, I can't remember. We'll say it did. Let's just say it.
All right, Ron.
Yeah, I'd never even been to Baltimore at that time in my life. You know, the first time I went to New York, I was walking around going, wow, look at all these buildings. You know, I'd never seen a building over four stories, hardly.
Well, obviously, you made it to 42nd Street because 42nd Street made it to the song.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I was on 42nd Street looking for a cab and couldn't get one.
Wow.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah. Well, I should mention.
Great talking to you, Bruce. Yeah, I should say great talking to you, Bruce, because this is just a highlight. And when Raleigh told me you were going to be on, I just had to horn my way in.
And a zillion.
Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, a zillion years ago, Ron was my producer in Austin, and I knew from then. I remember a conversation distinctly that he liked Starbucks, so I had to call Ron, who now is a very big deal in the racing world. That's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, available where good podcasts can be found.
Where Raleigh is the voice of, by the way.
Right.
Well, I mean, I could tell from that voice you had something. Being on the air.
All right, Ron. Thank you for calling.
I don't sound like that.
You sound great. Thanks for calling, Ron. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. So, yeah, they're lining up. You'll meet Johnny D in a moment, and I'm talking to Bruce Blackman, and I can tell I want to do this again. So that is 888-876-5593 if you want the last word, because otherwise I'm taking it. And in the meantime, I want to mention the Sea Crane Company a moment, because if you are a radio lover, well, I probably don't have to tell you. Yeah, Bob Crane should be knighted. Back years ago, when radio reception was just terrible on the current radios that were out there, Bob said, I can do better than this. And boy, he did. Every radio that Bob Crane develops has one thing in common. They just have terrific AM and terrific FM reception. And one of the best is the CC Wi-Fi 3. This is the one that John keeps by his bedside because he likes that Bluetooth speaker. And I'll tell you what, if you like listening to things on the phone but want much better quality, this Bluetooth speaker will absolutely do it. Audio is better than any smartphone you're ever going to find. But what I love about it is the fact that, and I just realized something. You know, I'm supposed to talk about certain products at certain times, and I thought we were talking about the CC Radio 3, which I've just mentioned, and it is terrific, all right? So I want you to look at that in the catalog. But we actually were talking about the CC Wi-Fi 3, and when I tell you that has the best reception in the world, let me tell you why. Because if you've got a wireless access point, you know how hinky that can be, picking up a signal here and there. Well, man, this will do it. it will pick up a signal anywhere in your house. And the beauty of this is you don't need to look at the instruction manual to use it. It's as easy as can be, intuitive and just wonderful. If you go to ccradio.com, you will see the CC Wi-Fi 3, and you will be able to hear radio stations from all over the world. Thank God there wasn't Wi-Fi when I was a kid, or I never would have left my bedroom. But if you have favorites and they're not coming in well on your standard terrestrial AM or FM, I bet you they have a stream, and I bet you it'll sound perfect on the CC Wi-Fi. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. If you can't go online, we've got the world's best customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog, and yeah, the world will be your oyster. You'll find something you just got to have, and if you're interested at all in listening to things online, I think you're really going to want to do it with the CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
I'm driving fast, I'm coming home to see you, baby. Getting dizzy from those highway lines. I should have known I couldn't live without you. Counting down miles by the highway signs. I've been cruising in my 64 Chevy. Burning tires coming your way. Meet me down on the corner by the levee. Down around Jim's Cafe. I need a rocket, gotta get it going faster. Match that gas pedal down to the floor. I can't wait to wrap my arms around you, girl. I'm double down the speed limit on this road. I've been cruising in my 64 Chevy. Burning tires coming your way. Meet me down on the corner by the levee. Down around Jim's Cafe.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Jim's Cafe came out in 2014, and the way I heard it, it was Bruce's high school reunion. Said he'd give out a couple copies, and the next thing you know, there were, what, about 5,000 requests?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a great song, absolutely. I'd never heard it before until I started looking at some of your sites and stuff, and I thought, that should have been a hit. I could see that played all over the place. Although, last year you had a heck of a beach music hit, didn't you?
Well, I've just had four number ones and a number five in the beach music, yacht rock, and trot rock genres. And I've got the song I have out right now. It's called Beach of Go-Go, and it's number 13 mover of the week in the beach music top 100 and trot rock.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love beach music. I go back to long before 60 Minute Man and been with it ever since. So that's
Well, I got to tell you that what I'm doing, these DJs tell me I'm bending the genre.
Yeah.
Because what I'm doing is nothing like what's been traditionally called beach music.
That's true. But, you know, it, just like the ocean, beach music comes in waves. And when I was first interested in it, it was like Earl Bostick on jukeboxes along the Grand Strand. And, you know, then by the 60s, there was soul stuff like Willie T and all that. And I think the stuff that you're doing now is absolutely appropriate for beach music. I think it's wonderful. So,
well, I'm having a blast with it. I was talking to a beach music promoter not too long ago, and I said, I can't believe this is happening to me at my age. And he said, shut up, man. Most people don't know how old you are when you sing.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, of course, when you go to some of the clubs, you don't hear beach music the way we traditionally think of it because, of course, people in our age groups don't drink enough for these clubs. And so,
right, right.
But your stuff crosses that barrier. The young people are listening to it, and that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, I'm just having a blast.
That's
with
great.
I went in the studio today and recorded my next single, a song called Jones About You.
Ooh.
And I recorded it today.
All right.
I'm just, you know, just to be able to do what I love doing, gosh, what a blessing. I never expected it.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I get to Johnny D, and I will, just one more quick question while I'm hogging you, and that's that the years were very lean after Eternity's Children and before Moonlight really hit. And I understand you had a car repossessed and, you know, didn't know where the next meal was coming from. At any point in there, did it occur to you, I'm hanging it up and getting a day job?
Oh, yeah. When it was after Moonlight came out, but nothing had happened.
Really?
And okay. On the same day our car was repossessed, they knocked on the door and was kicking us out of our apartment.
Oh.
And I got the Atlanta Journal and started looking in the want ads looking for jobs. And Peggy said, "You're not getting a job. You're going to keep writing." Well, it was literally days later, Lowry Group called me and says, "Man, you got a hit." And I had written a song for Tommy Rowe called Drop a Little Rock, and I thought that's what they were referring to.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "No, it's Moonlight Feels Right." And I went, "What?" Well, then my attorney I was using at the time, his name Joel Katz.
Uh-huh.
He had two clients at the time, James Brown and Willie Nelson.
Okay.
And he just, you know, took me under his wing. He called me up, and he said, "Bruce, do you need any money?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I can get you an advance for ASCAP, but all I can get is $25,000.
All?
Are you kidding me? I mean,
all
$25,000 is like $1 million.
Absolutely.
And that's what bailed us out.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story. Johnny D in Youngstown, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call. And hello, Bruce. I have a question about last night after Raleigh's show, waiting for the replay to come on because she puts replays up. And I went to her website and she had a link to what was going to be happening with you on tonight's show. And I was starting to read the bio and everything, but then I just went to some of the songs. And there was one song in particular I listened to. And I was thinking, man, I hope that didn't come from a real life experience. And that was the song "Cowboys." It's okay for cowboys to cry too.
Cowboys, you know, cry too. Yeah, that was a real experience.
Ooh.
No, that didn't happen from a real life experience.
Walmart.
My God.
Tell me about it, Bruce.
See, because I have two daughters, and I couldn't imagine their lives when they were little girls without their mother. I mean, you know, they're grown women now with children, but
so what's the deal with the song, Bruce?
Well, in the song, I put myself as a cowboy, but I was on the fake flower aisle at Walmart.
Yeah.
And there was this man and his little girl, and the little girl was picking up the flowers, and she would give them to her dad, and he would say, "Oh, these smell so good." She walked up to me and she handed me a rose. And I told her that, you know, roses were my favorite. And she said, "We're going to go see my mommy." She said, "My mommy's dead."
Oof.
And then I went, I just froze.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do you do? I mean, the little girl was like 4 years old.
Right.
And you know, what do you do? Well, what does a big old tough cowboy do? He cries.
Yeah.
Like a cowboy can't do.
All right, Johnny D, so a real story, and thanks for calling.
Okay, Raleigh, I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
thank you, Bruce. Thanks for that.
Okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
So we have, wrapping it up tonight, Eduardo in Tampa. Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good evening, Raleigh and Bruce. Just a couple of questions, Bruce. What was your favorite show to appear on and also your favorite band to work with?
My favorite show to be on, what I would say, would be Merv Griffin.
Ooh.
Merv was a singer and a great piano player. And after we did the show, he sat down at a piano and started showing me the similarities between Moonlight Feels Right and the song Fever.
Wow.
But he was talking just in the term of chord structures, going from a minor to a major nine, to get a little complicated in the weeds there, but that was my favorite show. Now, my favorite group, that would be a two-way tie, would be ELO and Boston.
Ah, all right. Eduardo, good questions. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. So since they're probably all gone now, who was your least favorite to work with?
KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, man.
KC hated me. He absolutely hated me because we played the Mad Hatter's Ball at Disney World.
Right.
And they were second billed to us at the time. And he was so furious about that. And we had a little row on stage, not during the concert, but during sound check. And he was throwing change on the floor and making his roadies pick it up.
Oh, God.
And he didn't want you to look at him. And I did, you know, I'm old Mississippi Delta boy. I didn't play that.
No.
And he didn't like it.
That's hilarious. And, you know, sadly, I can see exactly why he would have been second bill. And he lived up to the reputation, no doubt. So so Moonlight Feels Right 2014, I know you put that out. And, of course, Jim's Cafe. And so is all of this available on BruceBlackman.com?
Yeah, yeah. Jim's Cafe, by the way, is also a true story.
Really?
Yeah, I was with Eternity's Children in Biloxi, and to have a date with Peggy, I had to get home by a certain time. And she was going to meet me down by the levee, down around Jim's Cafe. Jim's Cafe in my hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, has been there for well over 100 years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's well known obviously in that area, and so that's what that song was about.
You should get free meals forever for promoting that. But I like it, and I'm going to go to your website. I'm going to get a copy, and we'll put it on KJ. I want to.
Okay, thank you much.
Oh, absolutely. I want to thank you for joining us. It's just a pleasure, and hope to talk to you again.
Okay, anytime, Rob.
All right, thanks. Bruce Blackman, so BruceBlackman.com. All right, as usual, it's a free for all next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Now I love you like I do. Now I do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Jim and Richmond wanted to hear some Sha Na Na, and I've always considered them more of a live act than a recording act, though they certainly had some albums out, and so I picked one of their 1973 concerts, and there was their version of I Wonder Why. Yes, the Belmonts Live. All right, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Cindy, we'll get to Ruth, we'll get to you too, but I want to talk about AI a moment. You know, we had a lot of fun talking about what went wrong with McDonald's AI ordering. Yeah, and we're still wondering about what the person ordered who wound up getting bacon-topped vanilla ice cream. Don't know. But there was a Daystarter article, Jerry Del Caliano, who is a former program director and former radio trade publisher and still is on the internet with a great trade paper, Inside Music Media. But he, in addition to that, does something called Daystarters, and it's just things to get you maybe thinking or possibly in a better mood. And this one was came out recently, yesterday actually, and he's saying, before you lose any more sleep over artificial intelligence making people obsolete, I thought you'd like to see what I got when I asked the Weather Network's AI-generated forecast for the beach forecast, Tuesday, June 25th. It will be mainly sunny with a few cloud periods during the day and sunny in the evening with partly cloudy skies overnight. The temperature will reach 99 during the day and drop to 72 at night. Stay hydrated. Enjoy the sunshine. All right. So he's saying, now I know I got to go to the beach. Right. And he says, rest easy. You're safe from AI. Well, you might be safe from AI, but all right. We get a lot of calls at the radio stations I own, and I actually warn them on the message when you call that your call may be used on the air. So I think I can use this, but I wanted to share this with you. I did not call the woman back. I was afraid to, actually. Her name was Carol. We'll leave her last name and her phone number off, though I've got them. It was a 21-second message. It came in on Friday, July 5th, 2024, at 11:01 p.m. Now, let me stress that again, 11:01 p.m. All right, so like an hour before midnight, here's the call.
My name is Carol. I just was inquiring to why the sky is black. Is there a fire somewhere that's blocking the sun? What is happening? Please call me back if you know the answer. Thank you.
What's happening, Carol, is it's 11 at night. All right, so I have no idea what the woman was thinking, or in this case, not thinking. Yes, so why is the sky black? It's 11 at night. Gee, I don't know. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Cindy in Chicago. What's up, Cindy?
Well, yeah, I never really had a really true, you know, a really true friend that wasn't either a social climber or just, I don't know, you know, but anyhow, my friend that I met, that these people moved in next door to me, and then I had to move out, and I told her I wouldn't move very far from her, and then she didn't have a car anymore, and I was taking her to work for about 2.5 months, and it really was getting to be too much, and then I guess she took so good care of this elderly woman that she's going to have 4 days a week. 4 or 5 days a week now, and the woman won't, you know, the woman she takes care of told the daughter that pretty much she doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to be without my friend, and now she's going to be able to get a car. And I was real honest with her and told her tonight that I couldn't do it anymore, and I couldn't put that many miles on my car, and I don't know, I just was honest with her. I just couldn't do it anymore.
All right.
And she really, you know, it's like God is just going to bless her with a car now, you know, and just the suffering. I know, I'm just so happy for her.
Well,
you know,
sounds like all will be fine.
Yeah, and I said, well, we're still going to be friends, aren't we? And she's like, yeah, you know, because I was so afraid to tell her, like, she, you know, I would lose a friend again.
Wait a minute. You were afraid to lose a friend that you were basically playing chauffeur for months? No. I'd want to find out much more quickly than that if there was anything to this friendship. So good for you. You did. And now you'll see how close you are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tomorrow, well, there's only 4 boxes left. I didn't do any today. And tomorrow I'm going to shop. Oh, I'm not supposed to say the name of the store. I'm going to the...
The store.
I guess it's a...
The store.
Polish ethnic store, and yeah. I'm getting sushi, mm-hmm. 2 sushis, 1 for Mike and I, and 2, we've been having a lot of, like, pasta, like, spaghetti, and all kinds of red meat and pork. We're having fish, mm-hmm. we're going to get a fish, they make ready-made dinners, fish, 2 fish dinners and 2 sushis, mm-hmm. 1 for each night.
Now we know. All right. Well, enjoy
okay.
it. All right. Talk to you later, Cindy. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. I liked this story only from the standpoint of I can't imagine. The headline was "No one had an answer." Yes, nobody did. 2 customers who bought from an online used car retailer joined nearly 400 others in complaining. They never got the car titles. After paying over $8,000 toward his loan, one buyer surrendered the car, despite never having received the title. Yeah, and you know, that's interesting because you think very often that if you're going to be scammed like that, it's going to be from a private transaction, and hopefully, you know, you've got all your antenna raised and you're taking a look at, hey, is this a scam? But you buy from someone you believe is a retailer. Oh, man. Well, it's a big retailer, too. We'll talk about this coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Carl in Riverside wanted to hear I'm Your Puppet, James and Bobby Purify, 1966 on Bell, and I was happy to oblige. All right, so it's Carvana. See, it's somebody you've heard of, and actually there was an interesting deal online in one of the discussion groups that a guy said, I sold my 2020 WRX to Carvana last September. They cut me a check. They paid off the loan. They gave me equity. The bank, sealed the deal. Carvana took the car. I never heard from them again. The bank called me yesterday and asked if I wanted my title. They'd been in contact with Carvana, who'd never given them a mailing address, and upon follow-up in the same email chain as the original transaction, denied knowing anything about the transaction and did not claim the title. I opted to let the bank keep the title, as that's who Carvana and was informed had it. I wonder if Carvana ever got a title from the state, or if my old car's been sitting there in unsellable for a year. Well, the problem is they're selling them. And some people would say, oh, well, they probably applied for a duplicate title. No, in many cases, that's exactly what didn't happen. And so in some cases, states have pulled the right to do business. North Carolina temporarily banned Carvana from selling in the Raleigh area back in 2021. And the issue was all one and the same, the company selling cars and not providing the new owners with a title. And what Carvana is saying is, you know, we sell millions of cars, and we have a 4.7 out of 5-star customer experience rating. All right, well, that may be, but if you've bought a car and you do not get a title, you've got a problem. And apparently this issue has arisen in a number of states. In Kansas City, a guy bought a Subaru for $13,000, paid it in full, 11 months later, still did not own the car since Carvana didn't give him the title. And he said, they just dance around the subject. They never give me a good answer. They give me false and misleading information about documents I can use to register the car instead of the title. None of that works. At one point, Carvana told him to register the car with the title application, not the actual title. That didn't work either. Carvana faced probation in Michigan, and in Florida is threatening to pull the license as well. And you're seeing a lot of people going online to discuss issues. And one of them said it required a call to the state DMV and the attorney general's office, and it finally got a title. Well, in some cases, they never got a title. Like I was saying, in some cases, the people lost the car. He said, one said, I think the secret is to basically beat the Carvana support team into submission until they're tired of dealing with you. And several other posters, dozens actually, had the same problem. One user in Colorado claimed to have waited 6 months to receive the title. Most states allow for maximum 30 days to complete the process. Another user said, 6 months has been a year and a half for me. And he said, I can't get insurance without a plate number. I can't get a plate number without a title or current registration, which, of course, expired. I don't have a title. There's nothing I can do. Now, in some places, Carvana has offered to buy back the cars. Now, this is obviously cases where they just don't have the titles. And so they're saying, instead of providing the title, we'll buy back the car. And, of course, the buyers are not pleased. They bought the cars. They've been using them. They're happy with them. They don't want the answer to be, you'll buy back my car. And so many are saying, you know, basically the government needs to make sure this doesn't happen. And it's interesting because your eyebrows kind of go up again when it is a company that you have heard advertise extensively, and one that many people believe has credibility by virtue of how large they are. And so, again, with millions of transactions ostensibly going well, we are talking about a limited amount. But if the limited amount is you, I guess when I read this story, it reminded me that I don't care how big you are or what you are. You want to, if you're buying something from somebody and you, for instance, need a title, you want to make sure that that is part of the initial transaction, that there is no question involved with that. Kathy and McHenry, I think, had an incident. We'll find out what's going on with Kathy. Welcome to WGN Radio, Kathy.
Hi. No, I didn't personally have an incident with them. I became aware of Carvana when they wanted to build one of their glass buildings that is hot, tall,
right
in Scotty, right near a forest preserve where, and there was huge positions, but because of birds. That's how I found out about them, but I've been following a little bit, and they have had their business license suspended at least once and maybe twice in Illinois by the Secretary of State for the title stuff.
Right.
And they're also, they haven't built the one in, they've had to, I'm looking at the article, they forfeited $250,000 bond because of the licensing and the titles. And that, then they were giving, illegally gave some buyers temporary vehicle registration
right.
from another state.
Right.
Place the problems, you know, the expiring registrations. And then people were getting fines for not having registration. So they have a heavy load of debt, according to this article in the Sun-Times.
Interesting.
So they've laid off staff. So there's a question about the stock lost 96% of its value. They're not in good shape.
Apparently not. Now, last year in 2023, they did reach an agreement with the Illinois Secretary of State to allow them to continue.
This article last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they first suspended it in 2022, and I think they were the first state in the nation to suspend one. And Carvana demonstrates, quote unquote, what we know all along, that Carvana was violating the law in a manner that was harmful to Illinois consumers. And so Illinois vowed that they would be on the up and up. But I think that this is instructive in that most of us, if it's a name we know and it's advertised everywhere and we think, well, they're legit, don't believe anything necessarily. Do your own independent checking. So yeah.
There's a couple other things I won't bring up because I don't know that they're true.
Right. No. And absolutely, the only in fact, I know just what you're thinking, but the only thing that Illinois could actually get them on was failure to transfer titles, but because Carvana is denying everything else, but they did admit they failed to transfer the titles.
I just don't want them to build those buildings because have you ever seen one?
Oh yeah, no, they're famous for those buildings. They're sky high. They're like 10, 12 stories. They're all glass, and they have cars that they have in the glass, so you can kind of see 12 floors up what the cars are, and so that's sort of their trademark. And you see them whether they're in Charlotte or whether they're in Illinois or whatever. They're in a lot of places. But I would assume that before they can go anywhere, they have to get a permit to build those buildings, and it has to pass zoning. So this is some point where if individuals in an area don't want this to happen, check your zoning and maybe get something changed so it can't.
No, they did all that in Skokie. All the bird groups did it, and the council passed it because it would bring in more money.
All right.
And they didn't care about
well, and that tells you exactly about that community, and then you decide to yourself, do you want to live there, don't you?
No, I live in McHenry.
Well, there you
we
are.
Don't build
not building Carvana cars.
We don't build buildings those high.
Very good, Kathy. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Dickie doing the don'ts? Yes, that's the one that Jack and St. Charles wanted to hear. Teardrops Will Fall, 1958, on Swan, of course. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And that will take us to Mark in Chicago. Hello, Mark. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
I am a longtime listener. I forget when you started subbing on Coast to Coast, whether that was with Art Bell or George Norrie.
Oh, no. The first time I was Art's designated replacement in 1999, and I walked from that in February of 2020 of 2000. And then I briefly, at the demand of a friend, did 2007, but that was Norrie, and it was just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, but that's when I first heard you. So it's like getting an old friend hearing you on WGN. It's terrific.
Right. Well, good to have
impaired.
You.
Yeah, I was listening Friday. You had a wonderful listener who called in. I don't know if she's blind or vision impaired. And she had a terrific website. I didn't write it down fast enough. I'm calling you on a 4G flip phone. So I am a living, breathing dinosaur. But I'm trying to remember it. It was something like B as in boy, badguys.com, two guys who do great tech support on the phone for people like me. But I hope she calls in.
I do, too. But, you know, the other thing is if you do remember the night, all the shows are downloadable. Mm-hmm. And so you could find that on Raleigh.net. But, yeah, I should know this. And I'm in a different studio this week than I was last week, so I don't have any notes whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
Well, I'm on a flip phone. I'm going to update, I promise. But okay. I'll have trouble doing that. But if she calls back, I hope she repeats it. It was a nice, simple website.
And tell me more about what it was, because I can try to search it.
Two guys who did wonderful tech support on the phone and helped people like me, blind, vision impaired, get up to date. And it was something like something guys, like B as in boy, batguys.com. Okay. Real simple, something like that.
Okay, but you're sure that guys was in there. Let me try to search it.
I think it was. It was Friday, and I'm sorry to bother you about
No, that's no problem. If we're sure guys is in there, something will come up. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Why? All the things that are AT guys, let's see, atguys.com. Okay.
Was that it?
Well, maybe it says hot deals and categories, so let's look at their website. This is it. Okay. We are...
Are we talking AT period guys or something like that?
Right, and there won't be any periods in it for the website. So
atguys.com.
Yeah, atguys.com. And then when you go there, you can look at a variety of things, but just atguys.com and the homepage is going to take you there, and they've got a phone number. You want me to give you the phone number?
I'd love the phone number.
Okay, 269 216
216, yeah.
4798.
Oh, Raleigh, as usual, you're terrific. I appreciate
that. Oh, sure.
That.
No, my pleasure. And their email is just support@atguys.com.
Support@atguys.com. Raleigh, you're terrific. You have an awesome night.
You too. Thanks for calling. Do it again.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. So there you are. There you have, yeah, I'm glad we did that because that is a neat site. And hopefully that will help Mark. All right. So 888-876-5593. That's going to take us to Ruth and Gurney. Thanks for waiting. Ruth, how are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Always.
That's the first time I've ever said that to you. And so it doesn't mean that it wasn't ever on the tip of my tongue to be able to say thank you for taking the call. Well, first of all, I want to say that I have come up with an avenue of approach regarding the type of pain that would afflict the hands, the fingers.
Uh-huh.
And there are several things involved in it that I've assessed. But I started putting different colored gloves on my hands.
Uh-huh.
And that was eliminating the pain. I also noticed that if I touch a radio, and it's not static electricity, but there's an energy that comes out and goes into the fingers,
mm-hmm.
and it creates a jolt of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it also, the cell phone, holding the cell phone for lengthy amounts of time,
mm-hmm.
that creates it too. But here's my latest avenue of approach, which is working really well. Even more so than the gloves. It's hard to keep gloves on for enormous amounts of times when you've got so many other things to do, you know, with your hands that you're busy doing. But I have a lot of oils that come from different places, like Fatima Lourdes, St. Teresa Lithix, salt, breast salt, all different kinds of things. I put that in its container inside of the gloves and across, and I noticed a difference.
Okay.
So you had a caller named Fran,
uh-huh.
who had mentioned once that she had a tremendous amount of pain in her hands. So I find that these all things are possible solutions besides medical assessments, and I would never have an x-ray taken of as least amounts of my body as I would avoid it a lot.
Okay.
But now I want to go into a question for you. Do you have a vanity license plate on one of your vehicles?
On one of them, we have a Route 66 plate. On one of them, we have KJAA, which is our AM station on a Jaguar. We've got that. On anything I drive, absolutely not. Because I don't want to be known or seen. Now, I will say my cars will have the antique plates, like my Z28. That's got antique plates, but they're not vanity.
Okay. I loved when I was able to see traffic with different license plates. I was always looking for different types that were so creative and, you know, such unique statements, making it sort of personal. And then something I would love to know more about on how many license plates are with the different names of them, which callers would call in and say, I've seen this license plate, just to hear that. It's almost like the name of a song or the lyrics of a song.
Yeah.
But the one that I think would be great for you would be abbreviated Room for You Too.
Yeah,
and there goes Raleigh.
Oh yeah. Well, see, that's exactly why I wouldn't have one, because I don't want anybody to say there
that
goes Raleigh.
Would identify Raleigh. You, right?
Yeah,
I understand
exactly.
That.
So when I look for sometimes I have a bunch of plates where you can have different things, different organizations or whatever. So what I look for is the ones that are the absolute hardest to read. And in Arizona, there's one that's about whaling ships or something, but the whaling ships are white and the letters are white and the background is a light beige. And I think that's perfect. No one will ever see these letters. Get me that plate.
Well, you would be wonderful in a classic or vintage parade. But again, you want to avoid notoriety or
yes,
whatever that
is.
Yes,
I do. I absolutely do.
You want to avoid the fame.
Yeah.
And that's a coveted position, to lead a life of humility as you do. That's for other people that want the glamour and whatever, the rich and the shameless. But
I will say that sometimes when I'm out and I see personalized plates, I will try to figure out what they're trying to say. And most of the times I cannot. I have no idea what they have on their plate.
That's interesting, because they're paying. I don't know what they're going for as we speak.
It's usually an extra $25 a year, and then in most states. Oh. And then then if you also want a designer plate on top of it, like let's say you want a Route 66 or something, or you want the Braves or whatever, they usually charge you $25 for that too. And then they give the organization or the team that money. So let's say you wanted one for the White Sox, and you also wanted to personalize the letters. Probably cost you an extra $50 a year if it's like most states.
Okay. We're always learning things. It's amazing how much, you know, you have that archive information. So I want to go out of my idle chatter into something else a little bit.
Yeah.
Great name for a horse, idle chatter. But
yes.
Anyway, in the derbies, you know. But okay, so... I had the Goodrich and the Blessing on Sunday as the holiday was waning away last Sunday, to hear a minister say, God bless your family. I had been using those phrases with people for a good amount of years, maybe since 2000. And I've always thought it's really odd that I've never heard other people say that phrase. They will return it with "you too" to me all the time.
Uh-huh.
And the common thing was always "God bless you," which Scotty, we were so famous for our Scotty. And I sometimes think, was he listening when the Ray Charles song was played? I thought, if only we could know how Scotty's "God bless you" came through, and wondering where he's up there with the powerful constellations. You know, and so it's just so dear to the listeners of your show, not only to you, but to everybody who got such a blessing from his doo-wop intelligence, not any artificial contamination, but intelligence. So I'm thinking about a minister who on Sunday in the late afternoon did the God Bless Your Family, and I said, that's the first time I've ever heard that in all of the churches or radio programs. And then the next program played America the Beautiful, and the singer, the lady, a kind of an R&B artist, local, though she was wonderful with the song. But I don't think anybody could ever compare to Ray Charles, considering that he was blind. Which brings me to, I'm anxiously anticipating the first miracle that will be associated with the Ray Charles song, because he was blind. And so many of your callers have called in and stated that they were blind, and with information comes forward to help them manipulate their circumstances. But it's just such an incredible thing to send this out and find the blessing that comes back. And we don't know where it is or where it's going to happen, or if it's going to become well-known or famous, but I'm anxiously waiting for the miracle. Now, back to the real original part of the call. Often people would make a comment to me about a St. Joseph statue, and they would have that look on their face that they were waiting for my reaction, as if I knew something and they wanted to know if I knew about it or whether I knew more than they did. And I got to thinking to myself that, yeah, I had heard that this was a common thing in real estate, and then they sell this little statue in stores, and it's a few bucks to buy it, and the people put it out in front of their yard or whatever, turn it upside down, and the house that hadn't sold for 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden, within days, hours, or months, the house is gone. It's sold. So there's something to it, to this avenue of approach. I would never do it. I'll never put the St. Joseph statue
upside down.
But I got to an assessment observance about comments that were made, and this goes back for years and years. This is not something recent. It's been around. And I don't know how many people are aware of it, but I determined that it probably has its effect through the word Jerusalem, Salem, being letters spelled out in the word Jerusalem. And then, of course, these places which carry the name, especially in Massachusetts. So I remember someone once saying to me, you went to Salem? And I go, any particular reason why I shouldn't? I went there for the House of the Seven Gables, not for any other circumstances. And I don't want to be with a spell put on me unless it's a wishing well spell. But I thought that there was a connection to that particular history involving Massachusetts and with that particular word, that city.
I don't know.
And that accomplishing the statue of St. Joseph turned upside down so that a house would sell.
All
Interesting.
Right. Well, yes.
Whether it's related to in my father's mansion or many houses or rooms or things like that. But I thought there was something more to the sounds like snip.
All right.
But starts with a W.
All right,
so,
now,
I'll
tell you in closing, Illinois charges an extra $94 a year now as of 2024 if you want to personalize your plate. So whatever the plate costs, plus $94. Now you know. All right.
Well, I told you it went up. It used to be 35.
Well,
but I don't have that.
Now it's 94. All right. Thanks, Ruth. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5. I don't know either. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Let me tell the story. I can tell it all. About the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenuers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, twice the devil's thirst.
The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. On the 1st of April, 1954, the federal man sent word he'd better make his run no more. He said 200 agents were covering the state. Whichever road he tried to take, he'd get him sure his fate. Son, his daddy told him, make this run your last. Your tank is filled with 100 proof, you're all tuned up and gassed. Now don't take any chances, if you can't get through. I'd rather have you back again than all that mountain dew.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine and white lightning was his load.
And there was
moonshine, moonshine to quench the devil's thirst. The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. Roaring out of Harlan, revving up his mill, he shot the gap at Cumberland and screened by Maynardville. With G-Man on his taillight, roadblocks up ahead, the mountain boy took roads that even angels feared to tread.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Robert Mitchum, The Ballad of Thunder Road, 1960. And that was on Capitol, and that was a request. Yeah, obviously, I didn't think of it on my own, that Stephanie and Madison wanted to hear. So there you have it. Stephanie, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Yeah, it's been another one of those days here in hot Arizona, and I've had a problem at one of my transmitter sites that I've been mentioning. It's been keeping me having to turn transmitters off and stuff like that, but it is now... It is now at night. It's dark, yes, for listeners who want to know why they're not seeing the sun. It's dark, and it's still 104 degrees in that building, and as far as I know, nothing is on. Well, I know what I'm doing an hour from now, but I'll tell you what I'm doing for the next hour is talking to you, so I hope you will join me. We have a death, by the way, sadly. Didn't see a lot of news on it, but Kinky Friedman Yes, you remember Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys? That was his band. And he was a humorist and a political candidate, and sadly he died. I think it was June 26th that he died. And he was terrific. And he went to Austin High School and University of Texas and all that. But he started doing outlandish things in Berkeley, California. And you can imagine, in that bed of hotbed of feminism, there he is, smoking a cigar and being a manly man, a bottle of Jack Daniels in one hand, a guitar in the other, playing "Get Your Biscuits in the Oven and Your Buns in Bed." Oh, yes, it was a rousing reaction, as you can just imagine. All right, but sadly, I'll tell you about his political career as well, but sadly, he's no more. Yeah, I'll miss him. And hopefully I won't miss you, because we got another hour to talk, and I hope you'll call right here on WGN Radio.
Long time ago, I got my big thrill just watching this show. Saturday morning, me and Big Lou would catch the matinee and watch Slash the Roo. Whip up on them bad folks like you. But oh, Lash, you faded just like on the screen. Best damn cowboy my money had ever seen. He never kissed ladies or played them guitars, but when he cracked his whip, he sent my hand to the stars. And whooped up on them bad folks like you. Bless the rule, we gonna pop all them fools in time. Bless the rule, we gonna pop all them fools in time. A cape and a hat, the Yankees were winning, I didn't have a bat. The faucets were leaking, the streets were blood red, but Lash LaRue was in my room and tucked me in bed. Whooped up on them bad folks like you. Lash LaRue, we gonna pop all them fools in time.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We have an hour to talk about whatever's on your mind. That's a little more of Starbuck there, yeah, from that first album, Lash LaRue, that Bruce Blackman wrote. And again, go to BruceBlackman.com to read all about him and get some of that stuff. It was good talking to him in the first hour. And if you missed it, after the show, I will later digitize it and put it up as a download. But it's going to be delayed, because the first thing I'm going to do next hour is head over to the transmitter site and find out why it's still 104 degrees in there. All right, so, yeah. And then when I get back, I'll digitize the show. And that will be wonderful. And then tomorrow night, a full 3 hours. That's right, 3 hours, 10 to 1 Central. And likewise for Thursday night, you know, assuming I live this long. All right, so last night on Trivia, I had a good time. I hope you did too. Nobody got the straggler. So eventually I just went ahead and revealed. And if you remember the question, we'll review in case you missed it. But that was, yes, one out of three Americans believes this about themselves. What? And we determined that they believe they've got a good idea for an invention. And the Akron Beacon Journal in 2001 reported on that. And I thought to myself, yeah, there was a time when I believed I had a good idea for an invention. It's been a while, and it's no longer applicable, but it was the only time, I think, in my existence where I thought, I've got something here. Yeah, right. And what it was, well, we should go back again a little bit early television days. In America, we scan at 525 NTSC. That's our color system. I say it stands for never twice same color, but it really has a serious definition. But nonetheless, of those 525 scan lines, and PAL, by the way, is 625, and that's most of Europe and a lot of South America and stuff like that. And then CCHEM, which is, and this is traditional, this is not digital, it's all changed since then, obviously, but CCHEM, which was French, that was 725. Anyway, we have 525, but we weren't using the last 45 lines of the scan lines. That, in fact, if you remember back in the old days, and you've got to be a little long a tooth, yeah, with the old analog TV, remember it would have a vertical hold, you know, horizontal hold, and that would stop the the picture from seemingly going you know, up and around in circles and stuff like that, and you'd see that black line. Well, that black line that looked like a big black bar across your screen, that's the vertical blanking interval. And like I say, the last 45 lines were not meant for visual use. And so there were a couple technical reasons of what you do with that. But in addition to that, you'd also have information, closed caption, things like that. So information slash instructions and all that. Okay, so here comes 1977 or 76, and I guess it was 77, but anyway, a guy I was working with got that first Sony VCR, that one-hour VCR that cost like $1,000 or whatever, and yeah, it was a beta. And then the next year, you know, with everybody else, there'd be so much on the market. And by the close of the 70s, there were real questions about time shifting, or people just in time shifting, fast forwarding through the commercials, because it was easy to do. And so this is when I got my idea for an invention. And I still say it'd been great, but by the time, you know, anybody would have put it together, it became obsolete because, of course, who uses a VCR? But I thought if you could take the vertical blanking interval and give it instructions so that the commercial that is being seen and fast-forwarded, at least you could print, say, a word that would come off on the screen, Revlon or whatever, or Folgers, you know. And I thought that that would be an interesting way for people who were, you know, fast-forwarding through the commercials to still be reached. And so my invention was, you know, how to improve the use of the vertical blanking interval. And I was serious as a heart attack. I was convinced there was a way to do this. And in any event, so that was my good idea for an invention. But it wasn't all that long before, of course, that's the end of VCRs and all that. So, of course, now that's the end of analog broadcasting. But for a while there, I thought I was on to something. So, yeah, that's right. I had it going on, or not. But I think that's probably true for so many people, that there is a point in time where you say, you know, I got a great idea for an invention. And apparently one out of three Americans at any given time feels just that way. So 888-876-5593. There'll be a new question for next Monday Night Trivia, and of course the replay this week you'll get to hear. And now you know the answer. So with that in mind, let's see what else is going on here, because something is. I believe that something is. Why is this not happening? All right, there we go. Is Karen in Chicago? Welcome to WGN Radio. Karen. Speak to me, Karen. Oh, see, I've got Karen all lined up there, and she's not saying a thing. Well, so be it. Call back, Karen. James on the South Side. How's it going tonight, James?
Oh, I'm going fine.
All right.
I'm doing fine.
Good, good, good. So, of the stories, what caught your attention?
Okay, there's the one where the family donated their kid's head. I just said that's why I meant to send you.
Donated the child. Yeah, we assume that the child sadly had passed on before the donation.
Yeah, but it's a little strange in the way that it comes down anyway. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get the complete story to come up so I could really read it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But okay, but another story, and it's one, remember I told you that I was saving it for this week, was this futurist said that people would live to be 1,000 years old.
Yeah, and who would want to?
Yeah, I'm like thinking, okay, now you're walking, and then you are no longer even human as far as the physical part of you. You are more machine. You're like Schwarzenegger's Terminator.
So this is Raymond Kurzweil, who in 1999 got the Presidential National Medal of Technology and Innovation. And so he's written, "The singularity is nearer. When we merge with AI, the exponential growth of technology will expand human intelligence a millionfold and change human life forever." Now, I may just be speaking like your average old person, but don't sign me up. And he's saying we're in the later stages of the first generation of life extension. I can't imagine it, because as it is, most of us aren't going to make 100. And long before we get to that point, we're somewhat waxing sentimental about things days gone by. Like, people will ask me, what's your favorite city? And I'll say, well, they only exist in time. So my favorite city is Cincinnati in 1968 or Miami in 1959. You know, I mean, they don't exist now, but I wax very sentimental for Nashville in 1973, you know, on and on. And the idea of being 1,000, why would I want to do that here?
Yeah, because I'll give you an idea of how this would look. Okay, let's say we will just simply use a past analogy. Let's say you take somebody who's from come back of 1,000 years later after maybe the let's say the Norman Conquest. He comes back 1,000 years later, almost 1,000 years later. He's like saying, "What is this place?"
Well, right, and you know, I guess here's the deal. If you really believe that there's no life after this, that you just take your last breath and that's it, curtain comes down, no more. I guess if you truly believe that, maybe you would want to extend your life. But I don't sign me up. And the other thing, of course, even if you do believe that and want to extend your life, how much of it is your life if you're integrating it with technology? And I don't mean a handheld phone. I mean technology in your body.
Yeah, they already talk about those newer things that they want to put into your brain.
Yes. So I don't know. So we'll be able to run faster and longer and swim and breathe under the ocean like fish? No. But
yeah, I'm thinking. Oh, welcome to the $6 million man. Yeah. You actually are it now.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I don't think too many people will make it to 1,000 when the next article you sent is over 2,000 pounds of frozen chicken was recalled.
Yeah. I mean, by the time we get ourselves poisoned in all enormous different ways,
yes.
I mean, whether it be medicines that don't work, like the high blood pressure medicine, that's another story.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think just the warnings on all these medicines is enough to cause you to say, I'm not doing that. You know, I mean, risk of everything, including death. No, I think I'll avoid. So, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, well, okay, let's say even if you have some semblance of consciousness that's still your own, how many of your friends, how many people you will have live to see your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren?
I don't know. Then, of course, speaking of cognitive, we have a new syndrome for daydreamers. Now, it used to be you were a daydreamer. That's right. You just had a little inattention. You were staring off into space. Now you have cognitive disengagement syndrome. So, yes, first described by psychologists in the 1960s when they had nothing better to do, saying some people display these traits more persistently than others. I would assume that every grade school kid absolutely displays this. But then again, I'd say they were looking out the window. And when I see today's schools, they don't have windows. But
that's right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, when I went to school, they still have windows. Now I look and I see, I don't hardly see windows.
No, I know. It's absolute prison as far as that goes. But I believe we all daydream. And so now I guess we have a disorder. I wonder if you can get benefits. I guess it's the opposite of ADD.
Yeah, in fact, I'm reminded of like, okay, there was even a few songs that just simply wax nostalgia about it. Mm. Not to mention Daydream Believer.
Yeah, right. Or Daydream by the Lovin' Spoonful. There you go. So we have an entire disorder for this. And like I say, soon there'll probably be benefits as far as that goes. All of us from time to time, while we have nothing better to do, have Googled things about people, maybe people we knew when we were younger, or maybe about family members. I've tried that many times with my adopted family, and of course they weren't American, so, you know, Bolivia didn't keep great records, so I find nothing. But I can't imagine cannot imagine Googling your mother and finding out she was a murderer who killed her partner while trying to shoot a ghost.
When I read that, I said, is it, okay, I almost want to say, is it me you're looking for?
Yeah, I don't know. And so the story was about a guy, 36-year-old, who had a strained relationship with mom anyway, and his mother abandoned him when he was 11 to move in with a boyfriend, leaving him and his 13-year-old sister to take care of themselves. And so an aunt and an uncle stepped in, and then they saw their mother about twice a year and maybe occasionally spoke with her on the phone. And so, meanwhile, the guy has a little time on his hands, like I say, 36 years old, grown now, and he says, Google the names of a few family members I hadn't seen for a while. I knew my mother had her issues, maybe some priors. I had heard she was convicted of manslaughter in the 90s. Well, when he typed in her name, the first article came up was about her arrest, and so he thought, oh, well, that's the previous conviction. I know about that. And then when he looked at the date, it was long after that. She'd been arrested for fatally shooting her boyfriend. And so, oh, man. And so the deal was that, in fact, as he looked further, not only murdered the boyfriend, but in the name of a ghost. So I don't know. Police responded to the shooting, and mother was found outside the house and said her boyfriend had made a comment about killing ghosts. In response, she took out a shotgun and killed him. Okay, then. And that was the deal there. But yeah, if you're going to search online, be careful what you wish for. You may get an answer you don't want.
Sometimes like picking up that eight ball, that magic eight ball.
Oh, that thing. God, I remember those things. Yes. But they were limited in their scope of answers. After a while, you knew what they all were. So there were only some you could get.
I mean, when I think about some of the things that people sometimes do, and you say, don't you have better things to do? Like a mom who killed her children for some rather bizarre reason.
Well,
it was.
You have your answer in another link you sent. Older adults who've used psychedelics tend to have better executive functioning. Now, this explains our economy. It explains the state of the nation. All right, use psychedelics and have better cognitive functioning? Better than what? All right, so there you have it. So
I saw that, and there was another one that was right near it. I didn't send that
Thank
was
God.
About supposing, hey, it's okay to use all this stuff.
All right,
I'm like, no, I'm not sending that one because then people say, okay, let's.
Yeah.
Smoke up. Let's be Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, well, sadly, we also find that all four patients who received pig organs have now died. But researchers are saying they'll keep trying to improve this alternative source of organs. Well, I guess if you're on your deathbed and you know you're going to die anyway, maybe you'll want to chance it. But now we have 4 out of 4 all dead.
Yeah, and they'll say, Doc, I need a side of bacon.
Oh, God. All right, and on that note, thank you for all the wonderful articles.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Karen, we'll get to Mary, and hopefully to you too on WGN Radio.
I want you to know now.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Arthur Alexander with the original Anna that he wrote. And it was Floyd Kramer on piano. That was my favorite part of it, actually. And that was a request from Lisa in Dundee. And John says, shut up and go to the news. All right, then we'll talk to Mary and Mike and Karen and you on WGN Radio.
I want to tell you a story from way back. Truck on down and dig me, Jack. There's Big Mo. Little Mo. Four-eyed Mo. No Mo. Look at brother, look at brother, look at brother, eat more. Mama, 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 who's the greatest band around? Makes the cats jump up and down. Who's the talk of Rhythm Town? Five guys named Mo. When they start to beat it out, everybody jump and shout. Tell me, who do the critics rave about? Five guys named Mo. They came out of nowhere, and that don't mean a thing. They're red high, and you'll know why when you hear them swing. Highbrow, lowbrow, all agree, they're the best in harmony. I'm telling you, folks, you really ought to see Five Guys Named Mo.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1942 for Louis Jordan. Yeah, he could do with his Tippity Five what an entire orchestra sometimes couldn't manage, and just terrific. And yes, so the five guys named Mo, Big Mo, Little Bitty Mo, Four-Eyed Mo, No Mo, and Eat Mo. All right. He didn't write it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. We have Mary in Midway. What's happening, Mary?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Talk about going from the sublime to the ridiculous. Your call with James was sublime, and now I'm going to be ridiculous because you were talking about coming up with inventions.
Yeah.
And I'm totally kidding here. I'm not about to go on Shark Tank with this, but you had me thinking because recently I broke my nail on my right hand. It was my thumbnail.
Uh-huh.
And it broke in such a way that, like some of these girls, they have those pointy long nails like the Kardashians. No. I don't even groom my nails, but anyway, it happened to break only on one side of the thumb, and the other side, it left a point kind of toward where you, when you text, when you're texting, it was like the perfect pointer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I can't believe manicurists that I know of haven't come up with this, because I was typing like a wild banshee, but then ultimately I went back to, I'm a senior citizen, so I feel more comfortable typing in my old lady way, but I thought, and though that I really did have something there.
Yeah, texting nails, and that would be an interesting design because they have all sorts of designs for nails these days. So why
try
not the
it,
text
Raleigh.
Nail?
It works. If you point your,
I don't text. No, see, I don't even have a cell phone. No texting for Raleigh. But
well, you heard it. You heard.
Hello, operator. I think your phone's attacking you as we speak. It's coming to get you. Yeah, geez. Yeah, so no, I don't do phone.
All right, you heard it here first, Ralph.
Yes, I think you're onto something. I think it could be a fashion statement. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so her phone really is getting her. I can tell that. It could be fatal. Hope not. In the meantime, yeah, because, you know, you see those things with, for one thing, texting competitions, and they'll have those, and they text behind their back and other things and all that. So, yeah, fine. But you also see on online all sorts of nail competitions. Yes, they have that with designs and shapes. So I would think the text nail might be something that that would be coming. I don't know how you'd, you know, trademark it or anything like that, but yeah, I think we're onto something. Mike in Mount Pleasant, it's been a while. How you been?
Gee, good. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned inventions last night and today. Several years ago, I had a fantastic idea for a line of an invention.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? How do I convince somebody, A, to invest in my project, work with me, and sign a non-compete, non-disclosure agreement?
Well, if you're being serious about this for a moment, there are actually various entities that are designed just to do that. The key is finding one that doesn't want to take too big a percentage, because obviously when you're getting money, it costs you. The money doesn't come for free. So you want to do it in such a way where you still have the ownership rights, for instance, and whatever percentage you're giving isn't extreme. But yeah, there are probably online you can look. There are a lot of different entities that are set up just to do what you're talking about.
What I look, I don't have a computer, but I'll go to my library. What do I look under? What do I type in on Google?
Oh, well, that's a good question. First thing I'm going to do is just ridiculous, but investment brokers. Let's see what it wouldn't be an investor, though. Invention. Invention brokers. I would think, invention promoters, invention marketers, invention brokers. And so what they do for the most part is they first analyze it to see, is this a patentable issue? Because, you could have a great invention. If it's not patentable, nobody's interested because there's no money at the end of the rainbow. But assuming that it is patentable, then they evaluate potential and go from there. And so there's a lot of different entities that do this. Just looking at it immediately, all-in-one inventors, patents to retail, Cape Crowd. What you need to do, the important thing, is to find out who's legit and who's not there to either just take your money, which, obviously at this point you probably don't have, but to you don't want people who are going to get the lion's share of it, or worse than that, actually own the patent.
Right. I don't think my idea is actually patentable, but...
Well, if it's not patentable, you have absolutely no one who will invest in it.
So sure.
Because there's no money. You see, investors only care about one thing in the end of the deal. Will they make money from it? If something is not patentable, it's not anything that will produce extreme capital for them. Because
if it's a food item or a line of drinks.
If it's not patentable, let's say you put out something that's absolutely not patentable and you've got a great idea for it and it's wonderful. And somebody else comes along with much deeper pockets and says, hey, it's not patentable. I can do this. I can spend more on promotion. I can spend more on marketing. I can spend more on packaging. Well, guess what? No one's heard of your stuff.
They copy me. That's the deal. I mean, I like to protect myself.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you is if it's not patentable, you can't ask for anything. They can steal your idea outright and you can't get anything. You see,
in my heart, Raleigh.
I know. Now, you can patent parts of it. Like, let's say you came up with something and came up with a very clever name for it. You could trademark that name. You could do that.
Yeah, I know.
But someone else could come up with a snappier name and use the same thing if it's not a patentable deal. And that's why you were in the supplement business for a while, natural healthcare things. Well, as you know, the biggest problem there is they're not patentable for the most part. And with that in mind, they're not ever going to be able to go through this rigmarole with the FDA of millions of dollars for trials and all that. And so they wind up not getting formal approval and all that because it's not patentable.
Correct.
So you know it firsthand.
Yeah. And, matter of fact, you go to any vitamin store, you'll see stuff on the shelf. It did not require FDA approval.
Well, that's correct.
People are buying them.
Well, absolutely they are. Marketing, and there's, I won't say it's all bad, but for the most part, it should be caveat emptor, and there's a fool every minute in this kind of stuff. Now, I will say when you start to look at invention promotion companies, more of them are scams than are legit. So you would absolutely want to research this within an inch of their charter to find out, is this a legit? And some are legit, but more are just scams. But anyway, that's the concept of how to do it.
I am a U.S. Navy veteran. There's a guy who's well-known and wealthy who works with and for veterans. I'll be contacting him sometime in the near future. I got this gut feeling he's not going to rip me off at all.
Good.
Well-known, very wealthy. Number two, I like to request a song.
Sure.
Early 70s, there was a hit. I think it was called Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues.
Yes, I'm afraid
so. I don't
so.
Remember the name of the guy that did it, but yeah. It's just a dreary, slow song, but I like it.
Uh-huh.
So, play that for me?
Yeah, absolutely, I can play that. That was Danny O'Keefe. That was the artist.
Any other hits, or was
it was a hit. It was a hit. And I can play that for you. He wrote it as well, and he mostly was a folk singer. And the first time he recorded it was actually like in 1967, and then it came out as a B-side on something else and all that. And ultimately, it was re-recorded by a lot of people, including Leon Russell. But the Danny O'Keefe record charted and did fairly darn well on the charts. It's a top 10 record.
So, it was so different because it was just kind of slow and dreary, but enjoyable.
Well, I don't know that I'll go that far, but it is slow and dreary. Ahmet Erdogan produced it, believe it or not. So, if I've got it on this computer, I'll play it for you next. Now, I think, I think your friend is a great idea, somebody you know that you have some type of a personal knowledge of and all that. That's exactly what you want, to find somebody who can guide you.
I don't want to wonder if I'm going to get stabbed in the back and ripped off.
Right, exactly.
It happens all the time.
Yep.
It's legal.
Yep.
If you want to deal with it.
Right, and so it sounds like this guy would be able to steer you through it and maybe help you analyze what you got.
I just want to say, I could not believe you did not like that song by R.L. Burnsons I recommended.
No, I didn't.
I don't believe you. I cannot believe you didn't like it.
Well, you, there's no way to figure what I like or don't. I'll just be honest about it. I don't particularly like Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, but I will play it for you.
Easy on the ears. You got to leave
well,
that.
I don't think so at all. I find it grating. But that's perfectly fine. You're going to hear it next.
Disco was grating. Come on. Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues. All right. Well, okay, I'll get the hold of that guy who I mentioned.
Yeah, and, good luck. Let me know how it goes.
Will do.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So, Leon Russell recorded it too, and a number of other people. I think Mel Torme recorded it, believe it or not. Yeah. So anyway, as I recall, we'll get to Karen in Chicago and Room for You Too on WGN Radio.
Everybody's gone away. Said they're moving to L.A. There's not a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a freight, some caught a plane. Find the sunshine, leave the rain. They said this town will waste your time. I guess they're right, it's wasting mine. Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues. Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues.
All right, 1972 on Atlantic, and I was looking for the, by the way, he recorded it twice for Atlantic. The first time was in 71, it was a faster version of that, and then he recorded it in 72, and they released it as a single, but I might have found the original. I'm not sure, because I can't always read my notes, but that said, we'll find out in a moment to see. It may be the same thing, but hopefully it's a faster version. I also found the Leon Russell while I was looking on this computer, but let's see what we got, if this is any different. No, it's just as bad. All right, so it said original version, and it clearly didn't mean it. All right, but as far as Leon Russell taking a stab at it, and that was in 1984, by the way.
Everybody's gone away. Said they're moving.
soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a freight, some caught a plane. To find the sunshine, leave the rain.
And when I have time, I'll try to find the faster version because it isn't quite as funereal as the last two. But anyway, that was Mike's choice for Good Time, Charlie's Got the Blues. And yeah, 72 in Atlantic finally became a hit. But like I say, I know he recorded it a year earlier and was faster. So I will try to find that. Karen in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I'm so glad to know there's someone else in this world that doesn't want a text.
Yeah,
I do. I
have no interest in texting.
I don't either. If you want to give me some information, call me or send me an email. I want it clear. I don't want just a blurb and you got to figure out what the rest of it is.
The other thing is texting makes it difficult to keep cogent records. So like people will text in a business sense and I'm not accepting that. I have to have it in some sense that is easy for me to file. And, you know, that texting just doesn't do it. So,
I know when I find them on my iPad or my iPhone, I just delete them. I just don't even bother with it.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
I wanted to mention that I believe it was Ruth that called up and suggested, I believe, for Fran about the pain deal where she wears different colored gloves.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for other blind people, but for me, if I have to wear gloves, I'm literally dysfunctional.
Right, because
with gloves on.
Right. It takes away the tactile sensation, which gives you so much information.
Yeah, and what happens? I mean, you're doing dishes. How can you tell if your dish is clean or not, or if you're dusting? How can you tell if you got all the dust?
Yeah,
you have to feel it.
Yeah. Now, I think it's perfectly fine as far as wearing gloves and all that if you're not planning to do any work whatsoever. You know, like if you're lying down and you're otherwise, you know, going to relax and, you know, go to sleep or whatever, listen to something, then that's fine. But yeah, I agree. I don't care for gloves in any sense other than that too, because I don't like losing the tactile sensation.
If I understood her correctly, she was saying not with all of her chores, whatever, she still wears the gloves. Well, I can't imagine how in the world. Well, if you can see, I imagine you're going to know more than you would if you can't.
Well, absolutely.
But even then, it's awkward.
No, but if your sight's good, yeah, then you can say, okay, I'm forgoing that sense. But if your sight isn't good, you want all the sensory input you can get.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, and thank you for that interview. It was very interesting. I wasn't familiar with that group. I've heard of them, but I wasn't real familiar with them. I thought that Bruce Black was extremely interesting.
Yeah, I did too. And obviously he deserves the success he's had because he worked really hard, you know, kept at it through the lean years and had a good business sense to own the material.
Yeah. Really? When are you going to have Steve Bryan on again?
Oh, well, we always do that at Christmas.
Oh,
so
I see.
It'll either be Christmas Eve or Christmas night, depending on what I have on the air. Let's look at December, how the days fall for December. Okay, I've got...
I looked him up.
Yeah, I was going to say the Christmas Eve is a Tuesday and Christmas Day is a Wednesday, so probably Tuesday night, Christmas Eve.
Oh, great. I know, I looked him up on YouTube, and I was really impressed with all the songs that he's written and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that story about the pooping moose.
Oh, I know, and it is so true, too. And people ordered it. I know, he was horrified, which I would be, too. And instead of, you know, it just turning every stomach, the orders came pouring in. So that tells you all you need to know about the American buying public.
For real. And, you know, when I heard that, I couldn't help. I told it to a lot of my friends, you know, when I heard on But, you know, and they got a bang out of it, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing that it worked out well. But it sure was a big hit for QVC.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
All right.
And when you get a chance, would you play some Manhattan?
Oh, you know I will. All right, let me write something.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, good
deal. I love your show.
Good to have you, Karen. Thanks. All right, so I played some Louis Jordan earlier, and I didn't tell you that his 116th birthday would have been yesterday. He was born in 1908 in Brinkley, Arkansas. And this guy was so underrated. I mean, I can't say enough positive things about Louis Jordan. King of the jukebox is true. Man, I'll tell you, box operators stacked boxes with his stuff. And died 1975, heart attack, 66 years old. But yeah, five guys named Mo is something that always makes me laugh. But so many other Louis Jordans that, you know, he was terrific. And especially in the earlier days, and I have no idea why, after a period of time, he was out of fashion, if you will, because his stuff was just terrific. And the first stuff, you know, he charted with stuff like I played, you know, obviously the 40s and stuff like that. But even in the 50s, he had so many things. Well, Saturday Night Fish Fry, you know, and on and on the list went. And today you say Louis Jordan, and like, who? Yeah, he was... all that and more. Yeah, ain't nobody here but us chickens. Yeah, you betcha. And maybe we'll play some more of him tomorrow night. Who knows? But it'll be a free-for-all, as always, and your calls will be welcome. But until then, 21 hours from now, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. Couldn't do it without you. Well, I could, but it would be tedious. So I'm glad you did, and I hope you will again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.